Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 48 of the Self-Help Podcast. Sean, we're getting close to that.
I can't believe it.
Anniversary.
It's nearly been a year.
Early on, we were like, every episode, amazing, I can't believe we're still doing this.
Yes, right, yeah.
Nearly a year on, here we are.
Yeah. And even today, people were saying to me this morning at the networking group that they had listened to this for the first time.
Yeah.
And we've been saying to them for a year, come on, listen to this, it's good. And people are just listening. They're telling us how good it was.
Well, I know. It's cool. Isn't it? We're still picking up new listeners. Loving it. There's a lot more people in the world we still need to reach. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
But we rely on you, our dear listeners, to pass the word on to other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So spread the word.
Pass it on.
Yeah. Keep it going.
Good little movie, actually. Good little. Have a look at that movie. Yeah. Go to the website liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the information about the show and all past episodes. Lots of freebies on there as well. If you want to sign up to our email list, we'll give you loads of cool bits and bobs, free meditation files, etc.
Yep.
This week we're talking about willpower, aren't we, Sean?
Yep.
Which is a key ingredient to the success of a person or a...
And the success of a podcast, in fact.
Indeed.
Because we've kept going.
Yeah.
And my running, I should be doing my run on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't been to my Just Giving page, get on there now. Get in there quick. We're up to, people keep stuffing cash in my hands. It's amazing. There's a tenner. I'm up over £300 all round with stuff online and stuff in the envelope.
That's cool.
Which is good.
Found the time to sponsor you, didn't I?
Yeah. You're a star.
Yeah, but you're looking forward to the run.
Yeah, I am. I feel a little bit nervous now, actually, which I didn't think I would, which is in the sense of knowing that I've actually got to do it. I mean, I'm going to do it anyway, but there suddenly seems this pressure on because people actually give me this money now.
Well, talking about willpower, man, you've been out there most mornings at 5, 6am, pounding the streets, haven't you?
Yeah, 3 times a week. And that's been good. Working with Conrad, who was on the show recently, who I'm sure was trained by the Gestapo, and I'm sure this time he was trying to kill me, but I'm still alive, which is good. And today at lunchtime, we're doing track work.
Cool.
For an hour.
You're going to be bouncing along at the Oval, are you?
Yeah, that's
our local sports track, athletics track.
Yeah. So never done that before, so that'd be a first.
Yeah, I used to go down there after school doing running and stuff. Right. It's cool running on that kind of surface because there's a bit of spring to it.
Right.
On a good running track.
Right.
So you'll feel like you're flying along.
Oh, right. Woo! Yeah. That'd be good. I could do with some flying.
Yeah, just watch out for javelins and stuff flying through the air as well. Before we get onto this week's show, I just want to quickly mention a slight restructure of the way we do things on the website. We're going to now do a blog post each week to match the podcast, don't we, Sean?
Yep.
Partly so you can kind of do some writing before on the topic to get us a bit more prepared. But also, we've actually had a couple of emails from people we've been so focused on this podcast that other things on the site have maybe slipped a bit, so there's not much written content, and some people prefer written content. So from now on, each week, when you get your email landing, you're going to have a link
There'll
to a podcast.
A double.
And a link to the written one as well. So
yeah.
Check the website. Hopefully that'll keep some people happy, and hopefully we'll enjoy that too.
Yep.
And it's good for the SEO as well. Good for the website.
Yeah, good.
How's your week been, though, apart from getting ready for running?
It's good. My world has been full of a lot of deaths over the last few weeks.
Oh, right.
And the last funeral will be on Friday. And it's just the way that it comes sometimes. And one of the things, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, where we need to get to a point in society where we face death with as much joy as we face birth, because it's as natural a process.
Yeah.
And the issue about, are we celebrating a life or mourning a loss?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a big ask for lots of people. But when people can get into celebrating what was rather than mourning what's gone.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough. I haven't had much death in my life. Obviously not personally. I'm still alive.
You will. You'll get that.
Yeah. I'm at the christening phase of life at the moment. I'm going to christenings every other week.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's good time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man. Yeah, it's a big part of life. I'm going to talk about defeat and how to accept that, because there was a rather funny incident this week. I don't know if you've seen the news. Wirral Cricket Club, no. our local cricket team. They've been making international headlines this week because they posted a score of 3 all out. on Sunday just gone. And, I mean, that would be quite amusing in itself, given that they play just down the road. But the fact that one of my best pals bats at number 3 and batted that day has just made it all the more sweet for me. So, yeah, they got the other team out of 108, and then, yeah, 8 ducks in a row, and then the last man got 1 run, and they got 2 extras as well, because they bowled them too wide. I'm not a big cricket guy, but I know that you get extras and stuff. So the 3 all out. And,
that's amazing.
It was picked up in the evening on the Saturday by Piers Morgan.
All right.
Who tweeted it out, and I saw that before I'd even spoke to my mate, because I knew he was in a bad mood because he put a picture on Twitter of a bottle of whiskey. So I thought maybe he's had a bad game or a bad day. Then I saw this from Piers Morgan, Wirral Cricket Club. And anyway, the whole week since then, it's been on every major news outlet. They were on the local news TV last night. They've been on BBC Breakfast. Chris Evans has mentioned it. The Sydney Herald posted it on their website.
Fame.
Yeah.
Fame. Now, the good British thing is it's not winning, it's taking part that counts.
Well, yeah.
And that's the living proof.
It's been taken in good humour by the team, I think.
Wonderful.
I think they're a bit sick of the attention now on my mate is a little bit, but that's made my week.
Wonderful.
I had to mention that just to add to the torrent of abuse. But I think we should move on to our topic of the week, Sean.
Yeah, willpower.
Yeah, man.
Where's the willpower?
It's a key ingredient in the success of, well, a person, and if you've got something on the go, a project or a business. Some people seem to have it in kind of droves and they just keep going, charging and charging, whereas others, and I'd probably categorise myself there, kind of struggle a little bit with keeping the energy going.
I'm going back to my thing about habits and brains. I don't believe the issue about some people have willpower and some people don't. Yeah, I think that because we all predict what's happening in life by our own attitudes, and we learn to predict by what we learn as children, whether we learn it from family, friends, school, culture, church, you know, socialisation, wherever we learn it from, we develop a set of habits that we then say, that's the way that I am. And nuts, rubbish, nonsense, forget it. You're not the way that you are. You're the way you've learned to be.
Yeah.
And the magic in that statement is that you can learn to be anything that you want to from now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just have to understand the process of learning. And we go on about it a lot. It's the 30 days, the 90 days. You have to learn to be different. And anybody can learn to be anything. So I don't buy any of that at all. Yeah, and the words that are banned from my consulting room are words like ought, should, must, and the biggie is can't.
Yeah.
As soon as someone says, I can't do that, they're right. Well, because they're writing the script.
I caught my 2.5-year-old saying it at the weekend, and I gave him a proper telling off.
Good.
Not, you know, physically, yeah. Just...
You didn't beat him to a pulp.
No, it wasn't that bad. I think he was just trying to take a lid off a jar or something. And I knew he could do it because he'd done it before. So I said, Will, don't say that word.
Yeah.
You can do it. And guess what?
Yeah. He did.
He did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. It's the issue is, are you a can-do person or are you a can't person?
Mm.
Yeah. Can-do might start off with, I haven't got a clue how. But if the attitude and the primary function, the primary starting point is I can do this, it's like I will do this, then you develop the willpower because I will.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
And your little boy's called William, so he must have lots of willpower.
Will. Plenty of Will and Will.
Yeah.
Wilson. Yeah.
Yeah.
In this handy little blog post you've written, Sean, you kind of take a step-by-step through some processes that will help you on your quest for increased willpower and focus. Should we start off with goal setting? Are you into goals? There are some people I know that don't agree with goal setting. And they think it's... Because once you reach the goal, then it's like, oh, well, then you're done.
Well, it depends on how you see a goal. If you see a goal as an end point, or you see a goal as like a mile point or like a milestone or a way station in the process of life.
Yep.
The amount of times I see people who are coming round to New Year, maybe, is the big one, isn't it? And they look back over the year and look at all the things that they didn't do and didn't achieve and whatever else, because they didn't really have any goals set to do anything.
Yep.
On the basis that if you've got goals and you're working towards a goal, you have new learning. If you've got new learning, you develop new brain cells. If you develop new brain cells, you've got a young brain, you live longer, life's happier, you avoid the dementing bit more. There's all that kind of stuff in it, isn't it?
Yeah,
but you have to, you actually have to have somewhere to go, something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a goal could be anything, whether you're learning to whittle sticks or be a macrame bag weaver or whatever it is that you're going to learn to do. If you're learning something new, then you're ahead of the game. Yeah, so from my point of view, goals are important. But the issue is that most of the people I work with, not only have they not set goals, which means that they don't have the motivation to go anywhere, but any goals that they do set or kind of vague ideas that they have are too vague to create any motivation to do anything. So like the goal of I want to be happy isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be, what does it look like, smell like, taste like, feel like? You have to be clear about what it is that you want to go and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not clear, you don't get it.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you're retiring or you're on your deathbed thinking, what the hell was that all about? And feeling all the regrets of not having done what you could have done.
Yeah, and I don't think you actually have to reach the goal to achieve happiness. Like, I may joke that I want to be Formula One world champion now. That's not going to happen. But
it made me laugh.
I could have fun trying, couldn't I?
Yeah.
And I do, because I take my race car out a couple of times a month and thrash it around there. And, you know, that's the first step to Formula One.
The second part to the goal bit has to be that it's no good just being focused on the end point or whatever that goal is, whether it's a way station.
Yeah.
But you have to enjoy the journey, because the journey is of no value and of no point if you're not enjoying it.
Yeah. A good one metaphor for that, I think, or a classic example is when people say they're looking forward to a holiday. So they're looking forward to a holiday 6 months down the line, and that's going to be brilliant. Yeah, but what about the 6 months in between, man? There's plenty of fun to be had there as well.
But that's the whole thing about people saying, you know, wishing for Friday.
Yeah.
And just wishing away their life.
Yeah. No, that's a surefire sign that you're on the wrong track, eh? All right, so we got goal setting.
And the tip for that is that if you to be clear about your goal, you need to be able to write it down as a sentence or a paragraph that if you read it to someone else, they'd understand what you meant.
Okay.
Because if they can understand it, then you've managed to communicate it clearly enough, which means you've understood it clearly enough. So the writing down of the goal is actually really important.
Yeah, so I want to be rich is no good. I want to be happy, that's no good.
You've got to be precise.
But if I want to run a marathon by the age of whatever,
27,
yeah, don't want to give your age away. I know you're very sensitive about that, sure.
When I was 90, it was getting a bit different.
But yeah, no, that's a tangible goal, isn't it, man? And you're doing your 10K on Sunday, and then it'll be half marathon, then
and then maybe a marathon,
then maybe marathon, maybe an ultra marathon, maybe back to back. Eddie Izzard style.
Conrad does this crazy stuff where he does the rough ground things, where you're going up and down mountains for a marathon. Woo, come on,
yeah, that's heavy, man. That's
don't like to do that. That's like, well,
yeah, cool.
Yeah,
okay. To reach these goals, we need resources, don't we?
Yeah, and resources aren't necessarily things. They might be people.
Mm-hmm.
Or a resource might be a particular characteristic you need to develop in yourself. And maybe things like determination or organisation, maybe skills that you need to develop as a resource to enable you to achieve what you want to achieve.
Yep.
But if you start off with the goal, then you can start to look at the resources that you need to get it. And it may be that those resources are other people.
Uh-huh. So
as an individual, maybe I don't have all the skills to create the goal, but maybe if I have a team of people that are going to help me do that,
exactly. Well, there's plenty of examples in the business world that I study, and you know, Steve Jobs, he didn't make all those iPhones or iPads himself.
He wasn't in the garage doing it.
He didn't even design them, really. I mean, he had the initial concept, but he had Johnny Ive, he's the industrial designer there who does the shape and the form of all these things.
But he must have been able to share his goal, that clarity of image, with the designer, which was his resource, to get him to design what he wanted.
Mm.
Yeah. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he had to have the goal clear, else he couldn't have shared it.
That's right. Went to the same university as me, Johnny Ive.
Did he?
Yeah. My little claim to fame.
Woo! Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd explain why you're such a good designer.
Exactly, yeah, I know, following in his footsteps. Blimey. It's a fact to follow.
But one of the things that I put down on the blog was the idea about having a mentor.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important, being able to go to another person and check out and ask and bounce ideas around. being able to brainstorm stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Really, I mean, does that also, well, I've put in as a note here, that's how important it is, the people you hang around with, you know, affect where you head in life so much, don't they?
Yeah.
You talk about parents, obviously, but, you know, when you're older and you're not maybe influenced as much by your folks, you know, if you're working on a huge, big project that you think is going to have world domination, and then you're going down the pub every night with Jimmy Five Bellies and he's kind of feeding you information about...
Jimmy Five Bellies, good friend of mine.
I think he's actually Paul Gascoigne's best pal. I didn't make him up. He's my stereotypical fella down the pub with no drive and ambition, you know.
Yeah.
Stick with me and you'll be all right.
Yeah, but those are the people that can talk the talk.
Yeah.
Because you can sit there with a pint, can you? You can put the world to rights.
Yeah.
But actually making something different means you go get off your five bellies and go and do something about it.
Yeah, but maybe, I mean, I don't want to put him down too much, because maybe in his world he's a huge success, you know, and Jimmy Five Bellies,
yeah,
that's where he wants to be in life. So
yeah, and that's
our noses at him.
If his goal was to get to the pub every night and get five bellies, then he's on the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that's happiness.
It's whether you want five bellies.
Yeah.
One's enough for me. Cows, how many do they have?
I'm down to half a belly now.
So. Cows, do they have two or four?
Three. Two. I don't know. They got more than one.
Yeah. But man, the people you hang around with. I won't mention by name, but I've got a good pal who he left that world behind a few years ago, and he was kind of, like, people won't talk to him anymore now because he doesn't see himself as part of that gang anymore.
Yeah.
But now he's off running a very successful business, and he's exactly where he wants to be, man. And these other people who, maybe they are a success in their own way, but they're exactly where they were.
Yeah. You know? It doesn't matter what the goal is. The goal is personal.
Yeah.
The issue is achieving your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for anyone standing outside of your goal to see it as good, bad, right, wrong, positive, negative, whatever.
Yeah.
It's to do with what works for you. If you're waking up with a smile on your face and you go to bed with a smile on your face, then you're in the right place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well said. Focus is important.
Yeah, no, I mean, planning.
Planning,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, missed one out.
Planning, we need to get the planning idea right, because people I see have loads of ideas. They may even have thought about the resources, because they don't get the plan right. They don't actually achieve anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do a thing with individuals and with groups of people, yeah, if I'm in a company or something. What I do is on one wall, I will have a flip chart, piece of paper stuck on the wall. You can do this as an individual or as a couple or whatever, yeah. And you write on it where you are, where you're up to now, whatever the issue is, yeah, project, whatever.
Yep.
On the wall at the other end of the room, you have another flip chart, and it says where you want to be. Now, the space in between those two flip charts is the plan. So what you do is you use other bits of flip chart paper, and you lay them on the floor like stepping stones, and you actually write down on those stepping stones the plan of how you're going to get from one end to the other.
Yep.
Yeah, and then along the wall at the side, you can timeline it, because you've now got a plan laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that sounds a bit kind of elaborate with all those bits of paper, but because it's so visual and because you're up and you're moving, which is something that we need to look at as well.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, you're more creative because you're up and you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And being able to create plans, whether you're using mind maps, some kind of audio-visual tool that's available, whatever you're using, but having a plan that has times on it is important, because that keeps you on target as well.
Yeah.
Keeps you on task.
You've got to stick to your plan. But you can have a certain amount of flexibility.
Yeah, you've got to have some bend in it. But
when you hit those rocky outcrops, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things in that is the issue about having fun. So mm-hmm. that when you do hit the tough stuff, you can not beat yourself up. You can go and have a good time and then get up and get on with it again.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I put down on the blog, I put down mentorship. And that issue about not reinventing the wheel. There's things that you will need to do that you can try and work out yourself the hard way, or you can go and talk to other people that have done it in some form or another and listen to them.
Yeah.
And that will just save you maybe months or even years. Yeah, it will shortcut all kinds of things by learning from other people's experience. So that may be reading books.
Mm-hmm.
It may be talking to people. But that idea that you're not an island, you're part of a social process, and if you hook into that social process, you'll be amazed how many people would be happy to share with you.
Oh, man. And that's where the wonderful World Wide Web comes in handy, because it's what a resource it is.
Yeah.
I know when people email you from this show, you're very generous with your time, and you email back generally within a few months.
it's tough sometimes trying to fit everything in, but I do try to.
But yeah, reaching out to people, you'd be amazed how generous people are, I find, generally.
Yeah.
Even quite big.
Yeah.
Big names every now and again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the point, is that if you're actually prepared to go to somebody who you know understands things that you need to understand, most people will come back, even the great and the good and the famous.
Yeah.
And that goes along with my whole life philosophy, which is if you all look after each other, then the world's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are lots of people out there that are doing that.
Yeah, well, there was a video I saw about kindness in the week. I think I put it on the Twitter feed, on Facebook, and I want to do an episode about kindness, actually.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yeah,
People generally are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yeah, and the majority of people are. The majority of people are good people.
Yeah, I found that in my 32 years on this planet. I'm not afraid to say my age.
I've been around for 32 years. And a bit.
We're going to build this big myth now about your age. Yeah, how old is Sean?
Sean, for my 100th birthday, we should do that. And then people realise I'm actually only 35.
You look older without your glasses on, I'll tell you that much. Do you look weird without your specs.
Do you? How's that? I have to have them tattooed on my face.
Where are we up to?
Mentorship.
No, we just did mentorship.
You did mentorship.
We've done it twice, actually.
Yeah, stay focused.
Showing your age there.
Stay focused. What do you mean? Stay focused. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of... we've done a distraction episode recently-ish, I think. And yeah, there are... It's easy to be distracted, in this modern world. But yeah, it's tricky staying on track, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're looking here at the idea of living the present.
Yeah.
Mindfulness, the issue of being able to bring your mind in from the past and the future, and actually being living in the moment to make yourself effective. We have the mindfulness toolkit on the website. If you go down, download it. You've got the morning focus, the evening review recordings that will help you stay focused. That's what they're there for.
Yep.
As working tools, as well as the Living the Present book, obviously. But it's actually, how can I be effective as a person in the present, in the moment?
Totally. Yeah, no, and I mean, we did a whole episode on that kind of thing and distraction. Yeah. There's, you know, people working on computers, as I do, it's very easy to get distracted by those little red notification symbols popping up all over the show.
Yeah.
Switch them off.
And we obviously we've spoken about, and we recommend Headspace, Andy's work, Andy Puddicombe.
Yep.
And I also highly recommend Marty Borison's YouTube 5-minute video clip, just so useful to look at, one moment meditation.
Yeah,
it's when you're distracted and you're going off and you need to come back in a moment, you can pull yourself back if you learn his technique. Really, really clever. Very, very good.
Totally. Yeah, that's quality.
Brilliant.
We spend a morning every couple of weeks with a cool little networking group, which we mention regularly, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, this is all linked again to who your mentors are and who you hang around with, but building that network is going to help you stay on track. And I mean, they will kind of, there'll be this like feedback loop if you're working on a project. There's people checking up on you, how you're doing. There's more incentive to keep it going, isn't there?
But that whole thing about who do you mix with? If the people that you mix with are Fred Sixbellers, you know, and that's what they do, and you're trying to get off your butt to do something, those people are like an inert anchor that holds you back. And they may be family, you know, they may be partners, whoever. And sometimes you have to really assert yourself to be able to free yourself of that anchoring to enable you to move on.
Certainly.
Yeah, and that can be tough stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just so important to make sure the network of people around you are people that support, people that help you grow towards your goal.
Yeah.
It's dead easy to find people around you who are going to demotivate, who's going to say, what do you want to do that for? Oh, come on, just have another drink, you know, have another fag, have another cup of coffee, whatever it is. but don't actually get up and move.
Do another podcast. Ugh.
Yeah, no, again.
Not again. 48.
Yeah. Because I think that when you're with a bunch of people who have kind of settled like hippos in the mud, you know, they've kind of just become stuck in the way that they are, daily, weekly, lifely activities, that when you want to change, you want to be different, you actually threaten them. So they've got a vested interest in, no, come on, come, just have another drink, you know, have a fag. They want you to stop smoking. They want you to keep smoking.
Yep.
Because if you stop smoking, that makes them feel bad.
Yep.
Yeah? If you're active and they're passive, you make them feel bad. Mm-hmm. If you're successful and they're unsuccessful, you make them feel bad. Yeah? And there is a horrible thing for many people where they have to make the decision to change their social or even their family groupings, because the family won't allow them to become what they need to become, or the group won't.
Sure.
And you were just saying about that guy who's Mr. Successful, who is no longer a part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's it, really.
Yeah.
So sometimes you do have to be quite drastic to start getting on target to what you want to be, what you need to be.
You do. Yep, because life's too short, isn't it, man, to waste time hanging around with...
Someone said to me once that life's too short to stuff a mushroom. Now, I don't agree with that, because I like stuffed mushrooms, and you can do really good things with mushrooms.
I once said life's too short to safely eject USB sticks from laptops. Just yank it out,
just
man.
Yank it out.
Who cares? What's going to happen?
That's it. We should have a competition. Life's too short, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
So send them in. Life's too short too.
A couple of extras which aren't in the blog, which I'd like to mention. They're linked, so they're nutrition and exercise.
Yeah.
What you're eating, what you're stuffing down your throat.
Yep.
And how much you're moving your body.
Food and mood is really, really important. We're really at the dawn of understanding the kind of psychochemistry that goes with both drugs and food, by what you're putting. We don't think of food as a drug, but it has a chemical effect on your system.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that, so we're eating foods that make us up and don't make us fall down. Yeah. In the East, food is categorised in three different ways. There's tamasic food, which is the food that makes you inert, which is the five bellies thing. It's the beer, it's the reheated meat pies, it's the pasties, it's the chips. It's all that kind of stuff that makes you inert.
All the good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, there's get-up-and-go foods that are more acidic. It's more like the yogurt, the lemon juice, you know, those kinds of things. Curries that are more kind of fiery, that have lots of energy in. And then there's the sattvic foods that are the cerebral ones, the creams and the ghees and all those kinds of things that feed the myelin sheaths of the nervous system.
Wow.
Yeah, and they all have different effects. So that if someone is trying to be a yogic meditator, they don't eat meat pies and chips. You know, they're into salads and other kinds of more sattvic foods that would lift them up.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's very true, isn't it? And if you have a big Sunday dinner, then most people want to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, have a good little nap.
Yeah, in the afternoon. Like, your system is trying to cope with and digest the food that you've stuck in it.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, whereas other foods will energise you, make you feel that.
My pal's a personal trainer, and he put a tweet out the other day about the best supplement that he recommends to all his clients. It's water. Quite kind of witty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we are 80-odd% water.
Yep.
Keep topping it up, man. Stay hydrated.
Flushing through.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. And the other one, moving about. I mean, the whole thing for me about having a stand-up desk is it's easier to be creative when you stood up.
I've been working standing up. I'm working at an office a couple of days a week with some cool guys, and they're motivated guys. They're working hard, and as a result, I'm working harder. But the desk is at a height where I'm on a stool, but I can stand up as well. So I've been standing up quite a bit working.
Yeah.
It's too early to say whether how much of an effect it's having.
The thing I find if I'm writing and I'm stood up, is I will walk away from the keyboard whilst I'm kind of thinking and processing, come back to the keyboard.
Mm.
And it makes me, that fluidity of body gives me a fluidity of mind.
Yeah, well, just this week I've seen a link go out, I think it was Tim Ferriss put it on, about Stanford, bit of research that's been going on. Walking increases creativity. So if you're on the move, they've figured out that you can be up to 60%. More creative, whatever that might mean.
60%, what?
But I haven't read the full article, but I just saw it this morning before we came on air. But yeah, if you're on the move, you're going to be getting some more interesting thoughts in your mind, and that's going to lead to better work in it.
If you look at it physiologically, what happens when you're moving is you get more oxygen in your system,
mm-hmm.
so that your breathing is different.
Yep.
And also your posture is going to be different, so that the way that the energy is flowing through your body, including the blood flow and all the nutrients around the muscles, everything,
yep.
is going to be flowing differently. And I think maybe the key to that is the realisation that I had before I started doing the running stuff from a talk on TED Talks, that the human body was never designed to stay sat down. That's what it was designed to move around.
Yep.
And the fact that we become so sedentary, whether we're sitting down in the car or the bus, whether we're sitting down watching something, sitting down eating, sitting down working, we're doing all the things that our body was never designed to do.
Sure.
And then we develop all the diseases around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas the creative potentials are people who do move their bodies. Because one of the things that's really, really real from my experiential point of view is that all the people that I have ever met who are successful have their time every day where they're doing their zoning stuff, which is usually running, walking, gym, swimming. It's that kind of stuff. It may include meditation, but there is that physical component in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when they have their ideas and their breakthroughs, and you know, they're on the exercise bike and things come to them, boom.
In a flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, or in the shower.
Yeah.
There's a lot of electrons zapping around when you're in the shower,
apparently. Yeah, yeah, ions, which is why people go to rivers, to the sea, because where water hits air, which is what happens in the shower, you get this negative ionisation, which makes you feel really awake and woo, it really wakes your brain up.
Cool.
Whereas the reverse of that would be the positive ions that you get on a horrible, sticky moment before the first clap of thunder.
Yep.
When you get the clap of thunder, you get this negative ionisation that runs through the atmosphere, and you get that sense of relief.
Mm.
It's like a break of the tension.
Yeah.
And all the world that we live in that's plastics, the plastics are giving off positive ions that make you feel horrible. You need ionisers.
Is there some kind of government conspiracy, do you think, Sean? Is this what you're getting at? They're lizards. They're all lizards. Have you ever seen some of that stuff on YouTube?
They're trying to get,
reptilian leaders of the Western world.
Yeah.
Weird stuff, man.
It's all true.
I know. Yeah. We have one of our listeners, I've mentioned before, listens to this show while swimming, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they must be getting some, getting some cool thoughts on the go, not just from us, I'm saying, but, while they're swimming in the morning. Yeah. I think it's a morning activity for them.
But the thing is, they could only listen to us one morning, so I wonder what they're listening to the rest of the time.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
I'm sure some,
I wonder whether that's music or whether that's podcasts. Because if you're into that kind of inspirational, trying to get yourself going stuff, then I wonder what else. So
let's know.
Let us know.
Yeah. Airing it out on Twitter, I think it was. Yeah. Let me know.
Yeah.
Cool, Sean. I think we're there, apart from we've got self-control. Is this, I mean, there are a lot of outside impacts on our motivation, but ultimately it's going to come down to yourself, isn't it?
Yes. One of the problems with the concept of control, don't like that. Don't like the idea of control. It sounds like it's restricting and limiting. I like the idea...
You wrote it.
Of, no, it's because I was quoting from something else, which I'm going to come back to in a minute. Yeah. Which is both good and bad, but I'm going to come out of that in a moment. But the issue about controlling is like a limiting. Yeah, people say, I need to control my emotions. No, you don't. You need to be able to handle your emotions. As soon as you start trying to control something, it's like trying to keep a herd of sheep in a pen. You know, the sheep won't run.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can run with the sheep, so you can handle that flow of emotion, completely different experience. If you start to try and lock it in, it's forever trying to get out, which is no good. So we need to be able to handle things, not control. Control's a bad word. That should, the words, the ought, should, must, they got to go. Can't, control, all those kind of words need to go. Because when you use them, you hear them and they have that reinforcing effect.
Yep.
Yeah, you say can't, you hear can't, you know you can't, that's it, you're stuffed.
You're done for.
Yeah, whereas I can. And the thing is that if you hear yourself say I can't, then you have to stop and go, well, and reframe it and actually out loud re-say what you just said, but in the positive, yes, I can. And it's enough to say, I don't know how to, but I will. That's enough. I
haven't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah, because that you hear that, you say it, you hear it, you reinforce it, that's what you've become.
Yeah, and the people you're saying to it,
yeah,
it's who hear it as well, and they're kind of like, oh, hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they will reinforce for you.
Yep.
Yep. And that's the magic of the network, magic of working with people who have the same kind of mindset as you. If you want to be successful, go and be with successful people.
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to be rich, go and be with rich people. Mm-hmm. If you want to be happy, go and be with happy people. Yeah. If you want to be miserable, go and be with miserable people.
Yeah. Just stay away from me.
Yes, yeah, right. Yeah. Don't come anywhere near me. Don't want to know.
Yeah. Yeah, really. All right. Willpower. Tick. We've sorted it. Anything else you'd like to mention?
No. Resource of the week. And it's the American Psychological Association. And it's a little willpower page that's got lots of links on it, which is useful.
Cool.
And they mention the issues of self-control. Yeah, but when you read that, have a think about the idea of, do you need to control yourself or do you need to handle yourself?
Yeah.
Do you need to limit yourself or do you need to allow yourself to flow?
Cool. All right, we'll put that in the show notes on the website. I've got a couple of movies. I'm getting back to my movies at the moment. I feel like I'm watching a lot of films, which is cool because I love cinema. Most of them I'm watching at home, but one, I've been to the cinema last week and I saw Noah.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
This, I hadn't read many reviews because I know the director, Aronofsky, is a bit of a hero of mine. He hasn't yet made a bad movie. He did Black Swan, The Wrestler, did The Fountain, which is a bit more underground, but awesome movie. So he'd come out with Noah, and obviously it's been a bit controversial, I think. I actually read the original passage of Noah in Genesis, which is a really... Everything in the Bible's short. It's so to the point. It's only like 6 paragraphs long. So it's true to the Bible, but it just adds so much more of this imagination of the director. It's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
So I think the reviews have been hit and miss, so you'll either love it or hate it. But I was just blown away by it.
Yep.
Go watch Noah. Another little film which I hadn't heard about, but it came out last year with Robert Redford in it, All Is Lost. It's about him at sea on his boat. You don't even know why he's on this boat. He's obviously some kind of wealthy-ish guy who's just taken off for a little bit for some time on his own. Stuff starts going wrong with the boat, and there's storms and that kind of thing. But really cool. It's quite meditative as well, in that there's hardly any dialogue. You know, like Castaway with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
It's just like him on an island, not talking, or chatting to a volleyball. It's a similar kind of thing to that. You're just watching him trying to fix things on the boat and overcome obstacles. But I couldn't look away. It was a stunning movie.
Well,
and I hadn't heard of it at all. It's like, gee whiz.
Yeah.
So check those two movies out if you can.
Yeah. I love things that are above cognition.
Mm.
Things that are beyond words. And sometimes that kind of meditative thing that you described is that. It's beyond that cognitive process.
I think people are so used to being talked at in movies. So I watched that movie on my own, and I told my wife the next day about it. I told her that there's basically no words in it at all, and she's a bit like, whoa, almost a bit wary of it.
Yeah.
But wow, just unbelievable. You don't need to speak to get a message across.
Yeah.
I think
the Life of Pi, where the guy's in the boat with the tiger.
Yeah, that's cool.
And there isn't a lot of dialogue in that, but there's a hell of a lot of unspoken emotion.
It's kind of narrated, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a good movie too.
Yeah,
cinema, man. I'm a big Formula One and cinema. They're the two industries I need to get into.
I think the cinema, because it has such a profound effect, both below awareness and above conception, is those two areas. If you think about any of the big stories, it's always good and evil.
Yeah.
And there's this battle between these two things, whether we're talking about vampires or whether we're talking about Lord of the Rings or Narnia or whatever. It's the battle between the light and the dark. And in most of the movies, the light wins in the end. You know, good overcomes bad.
Yeah.
It's the human parable.
Yeah, for sure. So just watch the movies because it's cool. Cool way to spend your time. Next week we're going to talk about money. We have done money, in the past money. I think, can't remember which episode, but we've had a listener, Mike, email in with some thoughts on Dosh.
I think that what we need to be working around on that, and I'll do a blog on it, is attitudes to money. You know, and then maybe that's something that you guys that are listening could think about before next week's podcast, is what's your attitude to money? Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah.
Do you think that having a lot of money would make you a better person? Is it, people have a lot of money, are they evil? You know, what is it?
Mm.
Yeah, power, money, all that kind of stuff.
Well, when we did the last one, I think we had done one.
Yeah, we did.
The economy was in recession, but now things are looking up all of a sudden, aren't they? And
In theory, we're supposed to be the fastest growing economy in Europe.
Has anything really changed, or is it just all a mindset thing? But we'll dive into that next week.
Yeah.
In the meantime, go to the website livingthepresent.co.uk, check out the show notes and all the links from today's and all past episodes. Lots of freebies and resources, even stuff you can pay for if you really want to, which I'm sure you do, because they're amazing.
And go to the Just Giving page. Think of me on Sunday.
Justgiving.com.
When I'm staggering around.
Sean-Orford.
Yep.
Put the link on the website. Yeah, no, I'll be thinking of you, Sean, while I'm...
in bed.
No, I'm going go-karting with some pals.
All right, you'll be moving fast as well.
Yeah, I'll be crashing into buddies.
I think you might be moving faster than me.
And then going out for a few drinks as well. But I'll be thinking of you, Sean.
Good.
Have fun. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you could leave a review on iTunes, that would help us out a lot. It bump us up the rankings and also gives us a little ego boost.
Yeah, we need ego boost.
We need it, Sean and I.
We do.
Yeah. And in the meantime, have a good week, one and all.
And you. Take care.
See you, Sean.
See you. Bye.
Bye.